Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And gosh, have we got some big news coming in. Not only are we going to be talking about the latest around Bruno Fernandes, around Onana, around Dalot, around a few other big bits of news as well. We've also, I tell you what, breaking news, I'm not doing a Man United watch along tomorrow. I'm doing Spurs versus Bodo Glimt scout watch. Because we're in the final. We're 3-0 up and Sanse, Inaki Williams and Nico Williams have all just been ruled out. They're not even travelling. They're not part of the squad. So no Williams brother plays for Bilbao. Sanse, their best player, is still out. We're 3-0 up. I'm doing a Spurs watch along. Forget it. There's no point. We'll just do score updates. I'm joking. I mean, bloody hell. Of course, we don't want to jinx it. Of course, we don't want to get, you know, overly arrogant. But we can also say it will be, in fact, forget the jinx. It will be the biggest flop since sliced bread. You know, it will be ridiculous if we don't get three from this. It's at Old Trafford. We're 3-0 up and they've got three of their best players not playing. Yeah, so... Look, people say we'll come back when it's 3-3. I'll be losing it, mate. I'll be losing it. This chair will be going out the window. The set will be coming down. If we lose a 3-0 lead against Bilbao, I will lose it and you will lose it. And we'll have every right to bloody lose it. You know, get the job done. It's there for us, definitely. Sliced bread does flop, Vladder. You hold, slice a piece of bread, hold it in your hand and see if it flops, you bloody prat. Come on, use your loaf. I'm on it today. Off topic, Sommer came to United. I need him, a fellow Swiss. How did we get Onana, says DK from Switzerland? Look, lots to talk about on the show this morning. I want to talk about what the latest is with Bruno. I think with the I've got a theory with the Bruno. I'm on it this morning. It's going to be a cracking morning show. An evening show last night was fantastic. We're going better this morning. Get your comments in. But I have this thing about Bruno, right? I've got an update on Bruno. He's sort of rejected it, but not rejected it. We'll explain what that means in relation to this Saudi offer. But why have Fabrizio Romano or David Ornstein not said anything? I saw it on social media last night. We're a here we go or an Ornstein bomber away from the biggest meltdown in our fan base. They've not really said anything around what's going on with Bruno. I mean, Fabrizio has basically said that there is interest there from Saudi. We've not had yet the Bruno's not going anywhere, which I would expect. If Ornstein or Romano say Bruno's not going anywhere, it's over. We have got the press conference with Amorim at lunchtime, so maybe it will come there. But until we get that, then I don't know what happens. We have got a random number 4 floating around on the screen. There's a reason for that. And if you don't know what it is, then it's sort of an in-joke. So I can't tell you. It's big breaking news. It's the biggest breaking news of the year. And it's a message to something that's going to happen this summer. But I can't tell you what it's all about. Press conference for Ruben Amorim later because of the head of the Bilbao game is coming. So, yeah, just keep that in your head for a moment. We need this. Lots of people saying Bruno's not going anywhere. And yet we haven't had the Ornstein or Romano bang. He's not going anywhere yet. So I think he probably is thinking about it. Not like he's going to do it. I just think he's probably gone. I would do this as well. I don't think Bruno's going to go anywhere. But I think what he's done is he's probably gone. You don't get offered £1.25 million a week every day. I will have, you know, I've just got to compose myself before I say no, because it's going to be no. So anyway, we'll get into that because there is an update about Bruno. There is an update about Onana wanting to go to Saudi. I think everyone wants to go to Saudi now, don't we? But before we get into that, I just want to shout out this community, the best Manchester United fan community in the world. We broke it in the international break that Onana is not wanted by Amorim anymore. We broke it for anybody else that Delap was the priority a month ago. And I also said on Monday morning that Dalot is going to be close to being back for the final and he's working really hard and they're really optimistic. I saw this morning somebody else was claiming that as their exclusive. I mean, there's thousands of you watch the United Stand. Why are aggregators not picking that up on Monday? We literally said it on Monday morning. Nobody had it. DeLow for the final is a real possibility. He's working his ass off to be back. So I'm not having exclusives on a Wednesday morning on Twitter. We spoke about it on Bloody Monday, 48 hours before. Come on, start giving some credit to the information we're getting over the last few weeks. It's been very good. The funny thing is, some people are saying, rest, bro. Don't rush yourself back. I don't understand that. I mean, I was laughing at some of the replies. People were going, just rest. Don't push it too hard. You know, I want DeLow back. The more options, the better. Can play Mazraoui in the defence then. Anyway, let's get into the noise. Let's get into the news. Will Milinkovic-Savic be difficult shot stopping because of his height? Says Liam. He's done absolutely fine at Torino. Absolutely fine. Aren't we just getting a taste of our own medicine? Saudi doing to United what United and other big clubs have done to smaller clubs and leagues since the dawn of time. Poach their best players as captain. Well, if that's the case, we had a taste of our own medicine with Ronaldo, 16 years ago? So it's not new, captain, I suppose. But let's have a look. Tia says, don't you think we are being shifted to focus on the Bruno non-story to buy time for the Cunha deal? I like it. I do like that. I really do like that as an intrigue, because to be honest with you, the Cunha deal has gone very, very quiet in relation to we were being told it was going to be a here we go very, very soon. But look, this is where we are this morning with regards to what is happening on two big transfer updates, and they both involve Saudi. The big one involving Bruno Fernandes is that he has apparently, or Bruno Fernandes' agents have rejected Al Hilal's offer, but they have promised to discuss the terms with the player, with the Saudi club keen to find an agreement. That was the big update late last night coming in from the Bruno Fernandes story. And that story basically is sort of what I was alluding to before. Exit talks. Now, we'll talk about Onana in a minute because that links in with Milinkovic-Savic and everything else. But the Bruno story is dominating the conversation at the moment. So what does that mean? His agents have rejected the offer, but have promised to discuss it with Bruno. And the Saudi contingent are open to discussing an agreement. So what that basically means is that if I put my house up for sale and the estate agent gets an offer that they know I won't accept, they reject it. But the person who's put the offer in has said, that's not our final offer. Can you go and speak to them to see if they're open to manoeuvre? And I think that's basically what's happened in a very simple way there. Whatever the offer's gone in to Bruno, he's rejected it and his representatives have rejected it. But Saudi have said, look, if we want to improve that offer, will he at least listen? And his agents have said, we'll take it to him. So the stance is that Bruno has clearly rejected it, but it doesn't mean he's going to reject the next one. And I think that I hope he does. I still sit firmly in that camp, but obviously the floodgates open again. I read something very interesting this morning that people need to park. This is not my opinion. People need to park their emotion here. This is actually a considerable amount of money that may or may not be there ever again for any player that we currently have that could massively help us. And I don't want to come across as a hypocrite. I think in football we all do at times, but I don't want us to sell Mainoo or Garnacho because I don't believe that they have sold, that they have reached their potential, and we're basically selling them just to get money into the club. And I don't think you should be selling 20-year-olds who have massive potential for a price that will be cheap compared to their potential just to get money into the club. And that'd be bad. Would it not be better to take the money for a 30-year-old or a 31-year-old in a couple of months, a ridiculous amount of money, way more than we'd get for Garnacho or Mainoo, and use that money instead? And I understand that argument, but I still don't turn towards it because we shouldn't be selling Mainoo, we shouldn't be selling Garnacho, and we shouldn't be selling Bruno. Like, we're not Everton, we're Manchester United. We shouldn't be selling players for money. When Ronaldo went to Real Madrid, we didn't sell him for money. We got money, but we sold him because he wanted to go. When we sold David Beckham to Real Madrid, we didn't sell him for the money. We did get money, but we sold him because Sir Alex Ferguson wanted him to go. I don't think Manchester United should be selling players to get money into the club. That, as far as I'm concerned, that's a precedent I've never seen in over 40 years. Now, somebody's going to get in the chat and give me an example of it, but we don't do that. That's not what we do. We don't look at a player and go, you're a good player, we're going to sell you somewhere else for money. That's not the mentality of big clubs. You will lose players because they want to go to big clubs. Someone might knock on the door and say, Real Madrid want me, I want to go and play there. It's a bigger club than you. But we shouldn't be going, oh, you've got a load of money, take our best asset. But Quinton's right. We're not that club anymore. And that's what we've become. And that's what I'm trying to say, Quinton. You're absolutely spot on. When did we become this football club that we sack half our workforce, that we're refusing to pay money to charities, that we're increasing ticket prices, that, you know, we're looking to sell players just for money, no matter how good they are? When did we become this football club? I mean, when did the Glazers really win? Because they will have wanted to do this for 20 years. And I would have thought it would be impossible to do this. I would have thought it'd be impossible for the morals of Manchester United to fall so low that we sell players for money, that we sack half our workforce, that we refuse money for charities, that we bleed fans dry with ticket price rises when we're shit. I would have thought that was impossible to impart on a football club like Man United, because it'd be impossible to do it at Liverpool, but that's what we've become. So nothing surprises me with this club anymore, but I still stand firm. We shouldn't be a club that sells our best players for money, because then we really are Everton. And if that's what we are, that's what we are. But, you know, all due respect to Everton, you sell your best players for money. I don't want to sell my best players for money. I don't want to sell my best players at all. But if they're forcing their way out the door with a transfer request to go and play for Real Madrid, there's not a lot we can do. But selling players to Saudi or, you know, Man City in the future or whatever the next plan is, not for me. So that's where we are with Bruno. It's still looking very positive if you don't want him to go. But the big update is that Saudi are still there and they're still talking with Bruno's agents and they're still offering up this money. What I'm hoping we're going to get with the Bruno thing before we move on to Onana is, I'm hoping in the press conference today, well, I'm guaranteeing in the press conference today. In fact, the press conference today doesn't matter. I've just figured this out. The press conference today doesn't matter because Ruben Amorim is 100%. Let's play it out. Ruben, big stories about Saudi and Bruno Fernandes. What can you tell us? I won't do the accent. Bruno Fernandes is the captain of Manchester United. He's not for sale. Next question. That's what will be said. But that's Man United's stance. That's Amorim's stance. Like, the story changes if Bruno at any point goes, the money's too good, I want to go. I hope that doesn't happen, though. T. Cronin says, do you think United will look at the Bruno deal after the outcome of the Europa? They might look at it as no matter what they get, 100 million. Thanks for everything. Hi from Cork, Ireland. They may do. It could be something that could run, which is why, for me, I'd like to see a Romano or an Ornstein come out and say, for Bruno Fernandes, he's definitely not leaving Man United this summer. He's here for the project. Because then not being in the Europa League doesn't make any difference. And you make a great point. What if we don't get that? What if, look, the longer we don't hear anything, and as I said, whatever Man United say or Amorim says is irrelevant. You're not really in control. If the player decides he wants to go, it doesn't matter what you say. So until the player says it, or until we get it from an Ornstein or a Romano, I don't think this story is dead. Because what I want to hear is Bruno Fernandes is not leaving Man United this summer, from a very good source. That's all I want to hear. And once we hear that, we can forget about it. But we might not hear that. We might just hear nothing for a couple of weeks. And then if we lose the Europa League final, we might hear Bruno's going to Saudi. So all I want to hear is Bruno Fernandes is definitely not leaving this summer. And I don't think we can trust Ruben Amorim on that because he represents Man United. I think we need to hear it from a journalist close to Bruno or Bruno himself. John says, imagine being in Bruno's shoes and turning that down. My captain's not greedy, but if they raise their offer again, that wage and fee is unreal. It's difficult, John. What is your stance on Casemiro, says Thomas. My stance on Casemiro is the correct stance. It's the one that everyone's talking about now. This is not an exclusive. It's just called common sense. I said this to you in February Casemiro is very likely to stay at Manchester United for the same reason he stayed in January and the same reason he stayed last summer. Man United can't force a player out that's got a contract like that. He has a year left on his contract on £300,000 a week. It'll be £350,000 if we're in the Champions League. He doesn't have to go. United can't force him to go. He's settled in Manchester. People keep talking about let's keep him for another year like it's our choice. It's his choice. And I think his choice has been made. And Man United can't do anything about it. So I expect Casemiro at Man United next season running his contract down and then going somewhere like the MLS or the Saudi League where no one has to pay him a transfer fee and he just gets his wages again. So Casemiro, I don't think there's a conversation because we don't have any power in the situation at all. I think he will do an Eriksen and he will stay another year and then find a club when he's completely free. Patrick Lynch says, reminder, it's ultimately Bruno's choice if he wants to stay or go. Amrim and Ineos can say what they want to keep or sell, but it's up to him. I don't think he'll go, but it's his choice despite what Amrim or Ineos say, says Patrick. Exactly. I sort of had that moment of realization about 5 minutes ago on this live stream, Patrick. You probably saw my, the penny drop. I was actually thinking, Amrim will get asked about this in the press conference, but it doesn't really matter what Ruben Amrim says. If Ruben Amrim gets asked about an honor, he's not going to say he's selling him, is he? He's going to give the club answers. So honestly, if Bruno leaves, I'll give up. That's not me being Player FC. We all know where we would be without him. We need more Brunos, says Riley. And SK says, would be silly not to consider it's generational. I don't want to sell because I don't see how we replace him. If United do decide to sell, make sure it's the last thing done. If United do decide to sell, to make sure it's the last thing done and do we don't get fucked on prices? Yeah, that's never going to happen though, is it? Robert McCormack says, if I send video from USA, will you pay for my flights? Oh, Robert's... thank you to the people who've sent in their clips already, by the way. I said this last night. If you're based in Chicago, Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, and you're going to be around there in the summer, then send us a 1 minute clip just talking about Man United to thatsfootballmedia@gmail.com if you want to be involved or invited to be part of our forum when we're over there for the tour. Obviously we want passionate opinions and we've had a few already, so we've got a bit of a shortlist already, but if you think you've got what it takes, you fancy yourself as a United Stand forum member like we do before every match, then send those clips in. Looking forward to that. It's been some really good ones so far. Will Milinkovic Savic be difficult? Shop starter, we've done that one. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about Onana. So I saw this last night. I don't know whether it's new news. Obviously, I was watching the Inter-Barcelona game, which was brilliant last night, and I'll be on That's Football again for the Arsenal-PSG game, which means the 7 o'clock show tonight will be at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. You know what I mean. And I just sort of like was like, you know, sort of working through some news, and I think it came in from Santi JFM again, but I don't know the frequency or not frequency, the how recent, the recency of this report, but it's basically Onana wants to leave Man United and has told his agent to go and get him a move in Saudi. I don't know, like, I know that's the source and I know that's the story. I just don't know whether it's like how recent that story is or why it's come out again. I don't know whether it's regurgitated because of the story about Milinkovic Savic coming to us from Torino. I don't know whether it's a new update, but what I will say about the Onana story is that Onana knows that Amrim wants to replace him. It's a very professional conversation. It happened in and around the international break. Amrim has a good relationship with Onana. Onana gets on with Amrim. But it's that conversation of very much like Pep had with Joe Hart, isn't it? You know, I want my own goalkeeper. And long-term, I you know, you're Ten Hag's goalkeeper. You're not mine. I want my own. So Onana's in that position where he probably doesn't want to leave Manchester United, but he has made an agent change himself. And there is ridiculous amounts of money to be made in Saudi. And I think for Onana, it's probably the route for him. So I would imagine that his agent is speaking to clubs out in Saudi or however you do it, because I don't see where Onana goes other than Saudi at this moment in time. Because he is a goalkeeper that is not going to be bought for £30-40 million in Europe at the moment. So Saudi is the right place to go. And I think that there are, what was the name of that Chelsea goalkeeper that was half decent that went to Saudi? Mendy. Was it Mendy? They had a goalkeeper. He went there, didn't he? So the I think as a goalkeeper, it's probably less of an issue to go and play in the Saudi league because you're going to be busy anyway, aren't you? You're going to have shots against you. It shouldn't impact your international duty. So it was Mendy, yeah. So I think it makes a lot of sense. If he's interested in doing it, which he sounds like he is, then obviously the financials are very, very good. Bono's gone out there and done it as well. Remember Bono? Yeah, he's gone there as well. So yeah, look, and every team needs a goalkeeper. You can have Ronaldo, you can have Firmino, you can have Duran Duran, you can have all these players, but every team needs a goalkeeper. And as we keep saying, Onana may not be the solution for Manchester United, but he's not terrible. He's not the worst goalkeeper we've ever had, and he's not the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League. He has attributes. He's not as bad as people think he is, but he's not as good as we need to be. So that we're clearly being linked to a lot of goalkeepers. It's common knowledge that we're shortlisting goalkeepers. We spoke about one of them yesterday, Torino's Milinkovic-Savic. And that is because Amrin wants to replace Onana. And Onana will not want to be second choice. So at the moment, I can only see it as a positive that we're shortlisting goalkeepers that look very appealing. Obviously, Amrin and Onana have had the chat. And Onana has got to start now looking at what he wants to do, which is probably going to be playing first team football somewhere and earning a decent wage. Therefore, I think this makes total lot of sense. Being the captain, that's more about Bruno. So yeah, let me talk about Onana first. We need Onana for the next few weeks. He will be the goalkeeper in the final. I don't think anybody's going to put Binda in there at the moment, are they? We need Onana in goal. We've got an opportunity to win this Europa League. That's all that matters. 2 weeks today. 2 weeks today. I'm watching the Champions League tonight. I watched it last night. Their final's not for 3.5 weeks. 2 weeks today is the Europa League final. I mean, that's going to come along like that if we get through tomorrow night. So Onana will be in goal for that. And that would be, you know, a fantastic way to bow out as Man United's goalkeeper, hopefully, as we move together. He's a decent goalkeeper, just not the goalkeeper for the future. I think in football, you can become, it's like Marcus Rashford said, isn't it? It gets to a point where you probably do need a new challenge. Not because you can't turn things around, not because you're not a good player, but because you could become haunted by the past. It's like a new relationship, isn't it? You know, you can keep trying and trying because you love each other, but they keep farting in the bed, you know. They don't like the same foods as you. They don't like the same films as you. You know, you keep trying, but the same issues keep coming up. And I think that if you get a divorce and get married, you might find somebody where you're happy and you're more compatible. And I think it's the same with Onana. I think that what's the point in carrying this on? We all know what the issues are. They'll keep rearing their heads. There will be good moments. There will be good saves. But there will be moments where we go, oh, he's palmed it into danger again. Or, you know, he's not come for that cross again. And I think that's where we are. We have to have those conversations. Victor Lindelof's been here for 8 years. Victor Lindelof's been here for 8 years. After 18 months, we knew he farted in the bed. You know, I know I'm using an analogy, but we knew the shortcomings of Lindelof after 18 months. And we kept him for another 6.5 years. That's Man United's problem in a sentence. There is no point keeping these players who will have a renaissance for a few months and then the mistakes will come back again. We need consistently good performing players. So let's end these relationships with a fond farewell and a thank you and move forward. And I think that's what needs to happen with Onana. There's a bit of an update coming in from about Bruno. It's coming in from Portugal. From Record Portugal, MUFCMPB has just tweeted this out. Al Hilal are preparing to make a formal proposal to Manchester United for Bruno Fernandes. This worries me a little bit. It's come out in the last few minutes. What's that all about? Why would you be making a formal proposal if you have had a knockback from Bruno Fernandes? Like, what's the point in, you know, it's like... It's like asking a girl to marry you and she says no, but then you take the dad out for a all expenses golf weekend because he loves golf. Even if the dad says, well, he'd make a great son-in-law, the daughter says, he's ugly, I hate him, I'm not marrying him. So it doesn't make sense to make a formal offer to Man United if Bruno isn't going to go, I'm interested. Unless Bruno has said, look, I don't want to go, but if the club want to take the bid, I'll go. Speak to the club. Look, we can't... Last night's video was brilliant. We covered all bases. But what we did agree on was that 50-50, take the money or keep the player. I'm 50% keep the player, 100% keep the player, but I'm in the 50% club for keeping the player. But I've never known a situation like this. It's so unprecedented that we are discussing factual figures. That's on the table for the player. That's on the table for the club. And if Bruno stays and United carry on and he has a bad season next season, every bloody game it's going to be, we should have took the money. I mean, I can see the thumbnail now. I can see the title now. Man United, 0. Bournemouth, 2. September the 15th. Should have sold him to Saudi. Bruno stinker. You know, that will happen. There is no winner in this, really, apart from the Saudi Pro League, because they can go, look at what we can do. We keep Bruno. Look, Saudi Pro League. Oh, true. See what you can do. That's a different stream. If we keep him, there will be people who say we should have took the money. And if we sell him, there'll be people like me going, since when did we become a club that sells players for money, even when they're good players? That doesn't make sense to me. It's the same as, right? I was thinking about this last night. Imagine, let's go back to, I don't know, let's go back to 2011. Wayne Rooney just had a really good season and he would have been, what was Wayne Rooney in 2011? I don't know, late 20s? Yeah? Really, really good season and the Saudi Pro League exists. They knock on the door in May and go, we'll give you £200 million for Wayne Rooney and we'll give Wayne £1.5 million a week. Would you do the deal? And people will go, yeah, but Bruno is not Rooney. But the principle's still the same. You're selling one of your best players for money. No, jog on. I am not selling one of our best players for money just because you're throwing stupid money at it. We shouldn't be doing that. Got to go. Me and Ricky driving Bruno to the airport, says Robert. I didn't even know you were anti-Bruno, Robert. I didn't know you were about that life. But there we go. You wouldn't do it if it was Rashford, though, would you? See, Player FC you are. I guess, I don't know what that means, Stephen. Okay, you need to rephrase that. Nick P says, I'm struggling with the Bruno debate because I think there's a near future in an Amrin world where we don't rely on him and don't hold him up so highly, says Nick P. Look, there has to be an evolution away from Bruno. I mean, I did a video. I think I did a video... Don't know whether it's during the Amrim era, but I definitely did it through the Ten Hag era where I was like, we need, you know, does Bruno really have a future in this team? Because I felt that the legs were going to start going as a 10. It can be massively frustrating. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I haven't said that maybe we should sell Bruno in the past because long term, I just don't know that we can win titles with a number 10 like that. I'm not going to deny that he can be massively frustrating, but he's too fundamental to what we are over the next 18 months. I don't think people realise what happens if we lose a player like that. The rebuild goes back to zero. And we're not a football club that can afford to take our time. If you sell Bruno, I would say we'd do well to be in the top 10 next season. In which case, Amrim gets the sack because people won't allow that context. I'd be sat there going, the reason we're 11th is because we've lost Bruno Fernandes, our most influential player and our captain, and it's going to take time to rebuild. No, 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 no. Amrim out. We should be fighting for the title. So again, people are saying, let's cash in on Bruno. It's the same people who've got no patience when the team deteriorates next season again. Like, there will be a natural cause and effect. Money doesn't just instantly buy you even a level playing field. I think there's a big chance that we could drop off as well. But I think the one thing that resonates with me the most before we move on to more news from last night's amazing debate, the one thing that resonates with me the most is, and nobody can answer the question to this, we can all have an opinion, but nobody can give us definitive. If Bruno Fernandes knows more than you, and he knows more than me, about the current situation at Manchester United, and it might be, it's in his interest to wait to see if we win the Europa League. 100%. If he says no now, I think it's a bit naive, because if we don't win the Europa League, we're not in Europe next year. It massively impacts our ability to spend, and it massively impacts the quality of players we bring in. For example, you might end up with Delap instead of Osimhen or Gyökeres. So if you're Bruno and you look at United not in the Europa League, not in the Champions League, not in Europe next year, you know, a lower quality of players coming through, stadiums ready in 6 years that you'll never play in if it gets built. The team is just full of learner drivers that's going to take years to come good. And by the time it does, you're not going to be the player you are now. Bruno needs the now. He doesn't need 2-3 years, maybe. You might look at it and go, also, this club's horrible. Look at the Glazers. Look at Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Look at what he's done to all these staff members. This is a mess. And I've given everything, and it's not going to get any better. When am I ever going to get offered £1.25 million a week again? This club's not turning its ship around in 3 years. And if I leave, it's definitely not anyway. So I lose nothing. Bye. I can't answer that. The flip side of the coin is, if we qualify for the Champions League, you might look at it and go, Cunha's coming in. Gyökeres is coming in. Amorim's here. I think next season is going to be a really exciting season. 1.25 million is an amazing amount of money, but it'll probably be there in a year. I'm planning on having a really good season anyway. So it could fundamentally come down to what Bruno sees as Man United's prospects, and he will know them a lot better than ours. A selling club, so they're actually being aggressive now and testing our resolve. Something is happening in football and Saudi wants a piece of that, says Duma. What does Ricky think we should do? Well, Ricky's in Spain as usual, Kieran, and he might well be watching this, in which case, cheers, Ricky. He'll be on the sangria already. Ricky wants him to go. We have a chat group for the fan forum, and Ricky wants him to go. Usman wants him to go. And I'm sure people will talk about it more on the fan forum tomorrow. Ricky wanting Bruno to go for £125 million is just the biggest open goal in the world. Like, Ricky would probably sell him for 50, because Ricky's been very consistent about Bruno for a very long time. So there's no surprise there. You've got to respect it. You've got to respect it. Whether you agree with it or not. Let me just catch up on some other bits of news here. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting day all the way through till the press conference, but do you think if we sold Bruno, we could get the goalkeeper, Ederson, Cunha, Mastantuno, Gyökeres, as well as a centre-back and a right wing-back? Right, okay. If somebody said to me, you sell Bruno Fernandes, but you get Gyökeres, Cunha, Mastantuno, Ederson, Frimpong, Iheanacho, and a goalkeeper, would I do it? I want to see those seven players signed before I say yes, please. So Bruno goes, and I get goalkeeper, Iheanacho from Sporting, Frimpong, Ederson, Mastantuno, Cunha, Gyökeres, but Bruno goes. I'll do that deal. Because the age profile of those players and the value of those players, that is a rebuild. That benefits Manchester United. Somebody's saying, would I take £125 million for Bruno? No. You're going to give me those seven players and Bruno goes. I can see the vision I can see what I'm getting. So as Bulba says, any day, yes. And people will go, hypocrite, you've said you won't do it. I'm not a hypocrite. I won't take 125 million because I don't know where that money goes and I don't trust Sir Jim Ratcliffe or the Glazers. But if somebody said to me, you're getting those seven players and Bruno goes, then I'll do it. Because Bruno's 31 next season and all those players are 26 or under. And they're all quality players in positions we need. So I would do it. That's a rebuild, Mini Brew, yeah. But that won't happen. That shouldn't, me saying that shouldn't whet your appetite for let's do it, because that won't happen. If we sell Bruno, we won't get all those players. Absolutely not. But that, to me, and I even thought about it for a few seconds as well. So that, to me, would be, yes, I would do that. But that's not even, we're not even going to get close to that. So don't make that think you're all, I would do it then, because you won't get that. And you take one of those players off and I'm not doing it. I want all seven of those players. Yeah, but let's see. Let me just have a look what else is going on. 1.25 million a week. We know about that. There was something today I wanted to have a quick look at and talk to you about. Press conference today is at about 1:30. So we'll be talking about that. Yeah, just look, I haven't... Ander Herrera has said he hopes Bilbao reach the final. Oh, mate. I don't care. It doesn't make me think any worse of Ander Herrera that he prefers Bilbao to Man United. This is just like, everybody thinks everybody's rimming Man United. Like, they're footballers. They're footballers. They're not Man United through and through. They're footballers. Most of them don't support Man United just because they kiss the badge. We're paying them a couple of hundred grand a week. His origins will be more loyal to Bilbao. I ain't got a problem with that. I respect that. It's absolutely fine. I like Herrera. That wasn't what I wanted to talk about. Oh, obviously on Bilbao, I mentioned it at the start. I mean, look, we've got a lot of things to talk about, as you know. And I obviously am very, very excited about the potential Europa League final. But... oh, God, I think I nearly fainted then. Something went, I've never had that before. My whole brain sort of moved. What was I going to say? Yeah. So this is big news. This is big news. If we weren't talking about Bruno and Onana, this is big news. Their best player has not played in either leg and won't play tomorrow, Sanse. And their best two wingers, Williams, Inaki and Nico, are both out. They're not playing. So basically, their three biggest goal threats aren't playing and they're 3-0 down. Now, it's still 11 against 11. Anything can happen. But if we can't take that, then you know what? And I don't know why they're not playing. The way Nico Williams was talking on Monday, it looked like he was going to play. Have they decided to prioritise Champions League football in the top four through La Liga? It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But what I do know is that Inaki Williams and Nico Williams were not far off playing. And this game is really important. Now, if they win the Europa League, they play in Bilbao. So that's really, really big. But if they risk the Williams brothers tomorrow and they miss the rest of the season, they might miss Champions League football through top four. So maybe they're prioritising that. I don't know. Maybe that's what's going to happen. They will attack no matter what. We just need to score the first goal. If Bruno goes and others who are up for sale and get 300 million budget, please name players you would like to bring in. I've just done that, Sanket. If it was up to Ricky, Lindelof would be captain, says John. An offer you can't refuse, the Godfather, says Jacob. Anthony has been better than Vinicius. Darwin Nunez had better stats than Jokeres when he played in Portugal. Can we please bury stats, says Marlo. I don't live off stats. I use the eye test, you know that. Nick B says, only thing I can say is we can't predict the future. The sell could be the catalyst that sparks the greatest comeback. Right now we're dealing with what ifs, says Nick. There was a good post earlier, even though I don't agree with the stance. It came in from at Martian Ball on social media X, said, leave emotions aside and think objectively. Rejecting 120 million would genuinely be the worst mistake by everyone involved. Bruno should get the bag. The club should take the money and run. This deal could finance the biggest rebuild post Sir Alex. We could raise 250 million from sales and invest like, what, 400 million. That's why it's 50-50. That's why I don't respect, that's why I don't disrespect anybody's opinion on this. That's why last night's show was so good. That's why this conversation will rage on. That's why if we refuse it, some people will criticize it for years. If we take it, people will criticize it for years. It's rock and a hard place. It's very, very difficult. I think that's true. If Bruno, 120 million of pure profit is going towards transfers, and Rashford, Sancho, Anthony, and anyone else we sell is going towards transfers, you're getting close to £200 million on transfers. Then you've got whatever you can take from the Champions League, another 50. There's £250 million there. But I don't trust the Glazers to allow us that to be spent on players. And it should be spent on players. But if you had £250 million to spend this summer, it's not just five £50 million players, as we know. It could be 10 £50 million players where you pay in installments. So it would be great if you knew you had that amount of money to reinvest. But I warn you, don't take 120 million for Bruno and think it's going into the club. What actually would happen is they'd say, well, we've got the budget now from Bruno. All the Champions League money can go on the stadium and dividends, and all the sales from Rashford and everything can go on the debt. And that's what would happen. We wouldn't get all that money, and we can't trust that we would. Another consideration is selling Bruno for 100 million or more. There is no guarantee that Ineos spend that on the team or spend it well. Absolutely. Absolutely. His wage will be lower as well. Well, Shaquille, I think you've made, there are so many intricacies, but you've made another great point. Don't forget, Bruno Fernandes is on 300 grand a week. If you sell Bruno Fernandes, no one's on 300 grand a week now. His replacement's probably on half that. So who's getting a stonk on about this? So Jim, Joel Glazer, £120 million and not paying wages of 300 grand a week anymore. We've sacked people, good people, to save money. Don't think for 1 minute Sir Jim and Joel are sat there going, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. It's literally huge money. So I don't think we've seen the end. I don't think we've seen the end of this. I really, really don't. Until I see Fabrizio Romano or David Ornstein or Bruno Fernandes himself say, I'm not leaving Man United this summer, I don't think this is over. I don't think it's over at all. Because I think, you know what I think is happening? And this is just a prediction. I think the Saudis know exactly who owns Manchester United and exactly what motivates them. And I think they know all they've got to do is convince Bruno. And Bruno is probably going, I don't want to go. Tell him I don't want to go. And then he's looking at them and going, you're thinking about it, aren't you? You're actually thinking about it. Here's me saying, I don't want to go. I want to stay at this club. And you're, as the club, going, well... And that's when it becomes a problem. It's not when Bruno says no to them. It's when he looks at his own club and says, tell him no. And then they're going, well, at the end of the day, let's just think about this, Bruno. And that could be the problem. It might not be that Bruno says yes. It might be that Bruno says no, but they're hesitant. And he goes, well, fuck you then. You know, who knows? The club could unsettle Bruno themselves. They're just the same as they did with Garnacho in January. Garnacho didn't want to go in January, but the club was sort of like going, there's the door. It's cold out. Do you want your coats? And that is Manchester United. And I would not be proud of that. Players that want to be here being forced out the door so those money men can get more money. And that's Man United. Bruno's family might want to go to Saudi, says Friedman. Mate, there's loads if, buts and maybes. Anana is a liability, says Little on Quality. We need to sign Kratos. If Bruno goes and others who are up for sale and got 300 million budget, please name the players. We've done that from Sankit. Right, legends. Okay, so we're back at about 1:30 today for Amrin's press conference. Garnacho is in the press conference. So is Beth. She's not sat up with Amrin and Garnacho, but she might get a question. So we'll see what happens with that. Don't forget, if you're stateside, send your little auditions in to that's football media at gmail.com. It'd be great to get you on the fan forum. We're looking for a bit of passion. You know, we'll look, you know, he's got to be fitted in with the United stand, of course, but do that. Wasn't one of Sir Jim Ratcliffe's public comments about how we have no £100 million players. Of course they would sell Bruno if the offer was made, says Patrick. Interesting. Very interesting days to come. But big news about Felbao, by the way. That would be, you know, having none of their three best attackers, obviously, we've just got to get through. I'll see you at lunchtime, everybody. Thanks very much for watching. Take care, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.